Good morning. This group sounds a lot like the class this morning, and I would love to tell you that it sounds like our prayer time. I'm not mentioning anything that Evan said. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, we come before you because you are our God and our Savior, our King and our Redeemer. And we bless your name, Lord, for those you have placed around us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be exactly what you've called us to be. That as a church, we would be welcoming and loving. That people that would come in would find peace here, Lord. That they would grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. Use us, Lord, to touch lives, to make a difference. We're your people, Lord, and we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory and honor, and we ask again, Lord, fill this place in a tangible way with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I have no idea what you all have had for breakfast, but wow, are you wound. Now, I'm perfectly calm and normal. It's nice to be loved. I know that I'm loved. I appreciate all of what we have received for this last month for Pastor's Appreciation. You don't know what it means. Thank you. Thank you all. Would you open your Bibles or get your phones out and look up Matthew, we're going to be in chapter 5, looks a bit longer. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 20. Last week, we were looking at being salt and light, that both salt and light transform all that they come in contact with. They enhance it, they change it, they preserve it, and that they influence what is around them, no matter what. And it's always for the better. That when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world, he was talking to those of the kingdom, to the kingdom of heaven, the righteous, the children of God, who like salt and light are to influence all that we come in contact with, both on Sunday mornings between 10 and 11:15, as well as the rest of the week, not just here this morning. We are to do the good works that we were transferred from darkness into the kingdom to do, so that they, the unbelievers, those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, will glorify God, our Father who is in heaven. That's what the whole purpose of our doing the good works. I know that there's other reasons, but that's the main reason. So that we'll glorify, or they'll glorify God. Verses 17 through 20. Do not presume that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever nullifies one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness far surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. There's a lot there. I want to tell you that in the Gospel of John, from our morning study, that the Word was there at the beginning, right? We understand that. In the beginning was the Word, right? And he was with God and was God. And that all things came into being through him, and that he, Jesus, is the Word made flesh. Okay. Now, Matthew here is telling us that Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, basically. Not to put an end to it, but to fulfill it. That he is the fulfillment of the word which was given to Moses and the prophets. Think about that. This also, as a side note, points out to us that those two things are not separate, as we sometimes tend to do, separate the law from the prophets. That they're one. They're still the word of God. That it's one. And that it all comes together where? In Jesus. He's the fulfillment of it. We have to understand that. Jesus came to give grace and faith to enable all to fulfill the law and the prophets. Teaching, and his teaching is all summed up in Matthew 22:34-40, which I'm going to read to you. When he was asked, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love God and others," right? Let's just condense it. I am to love God first and foremost, and we are to love God first and foremost. And then secondly, we're to love our neighbor. I tell you all the time, who's your neighbor? Go like this, because that's your neighbor on either side of you, right? Guess what? When you are in Walmart and those people are, let me rephrase that. When you're getting road rage because they're not going fast enough with their carts, they're your neighbors.
So are the people on
94. So are the people on 94. I had to bring that into it. So are the people on 94. We don't know what's happened to them that morning, that afternoon, or yesterday. We don't know what is bothering them, what kind of crisis they've gone through, what kind of pain they're suffering. Maybe they're a little distracted. We can't let that bother us. Just telling you. We are called to love God and to love others. Jesus taught that if we love him, we will do as he commanded. God is love. And we are to spread the love of God, which is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. One of my favorite verses. And we're to love those around us at all times. Now, keep in mind that love is an action. Love is an action. It's just not a feeling. It's not just, I love ice cream or I love pizza. Or I love visiting this place. Love is an action. For God so loved that he gave. It's an action. It's something that we show all the time by how we say what we say and how we say it and how we live our lives. Now, love dwells in our hearts, as I said, in the person of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this morning in class, where we talked about the Holy Spirit and him being in our hearts. But we also hear that Jesus Christ resides in our hearts, right? You've heard both. He is the same person. In Romans 8:9, it talks about the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ. Those are just one person. It's just a different way of referencing them. Like we hear the spirit of or the kingdom of heaven here in Matthew, but you'll hear of the kingdom of God in the other gospels. Still the same kingdom. Still the same place. So we're to love. Now here is God the Son telling us that not one jot or tittle, I love that from the King James, not one period, not one dot of an I, not the cross of a T, right? Not one bit of it is, it's all going to come to pass. Right? How does it say it here? For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So, what does that mean to us? How should we understand this? What God says is going to happen. Period. Exclamation point. However you want to end it. What God says is going to happen. We may not see it in our lifetime, but we may. He's coming back. God's word tells us that. You need to get this. You need to write it down and pray for those who are even now perishing. Because every sinner that perseveres in their disobedience, in their sin, will surely be punished with separation from God and the glory of His power. 2 Thessalonians is some of the scariest verses about when Jesus returns. And I'm going to start at verse 3 in chapter 1 of Thessalonians. You can just listen, or you can go and look and follow along. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you. He's talking to the church, brothers and sisters, as is only fitting, because your faith is increasing abundantly, and the love of each and every one of you toward one another grows even greater. That's the way it's supposed to be. As a result, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance in faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, for which you indeed are suffering. For after all, it is only right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, along with us, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These people will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. I cannot imagine being destroyed eternally. Away from the presence of the Lord. No hope. Without the Lord, there's no hope. And from the glory of His power. What a place to be. Hope. No hope. None. Not a chance. And knowing it beyond a shadow of a doubt. But for those who do turn from their wicked ways and turn to God in repentance, who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they shall surely be saved from eternal damnation and the eternal fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us, He's talking to the church, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, for us, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It's reserved for you as a Christian. It's waiting for you, right? If you are a believer, you are justified. You are sanctified. but you're also being sanctified. You are a citizen of the kingdom here and now, but you're also going to see the kingdom in its full reality when Jesus comes back or takes you there. Both, actually. And you are saved while being saved. You are saved right now, but you are also being saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for His good pleasure. Who's working in you now? The Holy Spirit. He is working in you. He's provoking you. He's stirring you to action. He's checking you when you should be stopped to doing something. We talked about this morning. Have you ever had that check in your spirit where you go to do something and God goes, No, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't do it. The Holy Spirit, God, is at work in you to conform you into the image of Jesus, to make you as Christ-like as possible in the moment you're in. To give you eternal life as you live out your relationship with God through His enabling power that is at work in all of His children. All of His children. The Holy Spirit is working in all of us. Now, the question goes, who are His children? All of us. You want to know if you're one of His children? Go read John 10, verses 25 through 29. Nobody can snatch His children out of His hand, His sheep, right? Who are His sheep? Go back and read a few verses before that. Those who listen to His voice, who obey the Lord Jesus Christ. If you listen to somebody, you're going to do what they say, right? Or is it just words? And it goes on to tell you about that. They know Him, He knows them. That's what it is to have a relationship. Now, verse 19. Therefore, whoever nullifies one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, whether this is all of God's commandments or just what Jesus recently taught is basically irrelevant. You can take both of them together or separate, but we're to do what we're called to do. You understand that since the word, the law and the prophets are fulfilled in Jesus, should we not then put them into action? Into practice? All His teachings? Should we not be obedient to the least of these commandments? Pick one. And should we not teach them, talk of them, and live them out? Because if we nullify any of them with our words or our actions, will not others be influenced, taught to do the same? If you've ever been around children, more is caught than taught. I can remember my dad telling us, don't cuss, don't smoke, and I mean it. Do as I say, not as I do. And he worked in the steel mill. I don't have to tell you any further than that. Did we pick some of that up? Yes. I can honestly say I never smoked. I can't say that for some of my siblings, but I can say that. God kept me out of that. That was Him working in my life even back then. We have to understand that we influence those around us, whether we want to or not. We influence them. And when this happens, more is caught than taught, that happens amongst adults as much as it does amongst children. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? More is caught than taught. They don't have to teach you. All you have to be is around them long enough and you're going to you're going to catch it. Yeah, like a bad cold. It works out the same way. And you suffer for it. We must let the light we have, you must let the light you have shine so bright as you can, as bright as you can. You can't try to hide it under a bushel or by blending or trying to blend in with the world. We have to be careful there, right? We can't blend in with the world. It's there's that, well, if I do, they're going to think I'm weird. Well, look. They already think it anyway. Just embrace it. Don't blend in. Be different. Go against the flow. I love the beginning of The Chosen where the fish are swimming and then you see them turn around and go the other way. We have to do that. And it's not easy. Because if you're not pushing against the flow, you're going to go with it. Now, when we live out the whole counsel of God, keeping His commandments and having the qualities of righteousness that were taught to us in the Beatitudes, then we will be called great in the kingdom of God. More is caught than taught. So if you're living it out, you're going to influence for the good. You're going to be like that salt and light that we're called to be. The Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. God's word, the word of truth. Your word is truth. Be sanctified. Right. Jesus prayed that. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And James, he tells us, therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. How often do we deceive ourselves? Or let me rephrase that. How often do we rationalize not doing what we're supposed to do, or rationalize doing what we're not supposed to do? We have to be very careful. Our righteousness must be from the heart, not from a legalistic approach like our Pharisee friends, okay, and the teachers of the law. Their righteousness came from maintaining an outward observance of the law. They wanted to appear holy and righteous. They got to wear the robes. They got to stand and pray loudly on the corners. They wanted to be seen. What was it that Steve preached this morning a little bit, spoke on about being seen for your good works? No. No, that's what they wanted. They wanted that. They wanted to appear holy and righteous on the outside. Now, we as believers must take the word into our hearts, making it a part of who we are so that we'll grow the righteousness that we have received already that is within us from our relationship with Jesus Christ. You are made righteous. You have His imputed righteousness. He took our sin and He made us righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That is something we need to celebrate. But that doesn't mean we can live like the world. We've got to start living like Jesus. We need to be in the Word all the time. Both His righteousness and that relationship that we have with Him will be seen in a love for the Word of God that matches God's purpose in giving us the Word of God. It's got to be both. I mean, if we're not living it out, how can it be seen? Why would God give us His Word except for we're supposed to live righteous? Just goes right around. Their righteousness, those of the world and those Pharisees, was for looks. The self-righteous, The self-righteous will never enter the kingdom on their own works. It is by grace that you are saved through faith. Let me try that again. It is by grace that you are saved through faith, a gift from God. Good works will not get you into heaven. None. Our righteousness comes by our relationship with Jesus. Plain and simple. Penance. I'm going to fast because I had a bad attitude yesterday. So I'm going to fast. That's penance. Guess what? Penance will not get you into heaven. It will not make you a citizen of the kingdom. It will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Righteous, good works on the outside, your righteousness will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Good morals will not make you righteous. None of those things will make you righteous. Nothing you do in and of yourself will get you into the kingdom. Only Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. A relationship that has to continually be growing. Just like your relationship with your spouse, your children, your friends. The church has to continue to grow. And those that teach the works, that works will gain you an entrance, nullify the word, and they will suffer the consequences of their teachings. Whereas the righteousness you receive from God should bring a change of heart that comes from your relationship with Jesus Christ. We receive the righteousness. We're forgiven. We have been enabled to have peace with God. Having been justified, we're being sanctified. Now, we are sanctified unto the Lord, separated for Him to use as His children, His people, as citizens of the kingdom. That is our blessing. That is our blessing from God, who loved us so much that He gave His only Son. Now, obedience is not required for God to love you. Obedience is not required for God to love you. But God's love for you and the righteousness He imputes should produce obedience. Right? So, how is your righteousness compared to the Pharisees? You can come up, praise team. How is your righteousness compared to the Pharisees? It is only in Christ and through Christ that you are righteous in God's sight. Wow. It is His righteousness that gets you into the kingdom now and forever. Nothing you could do. Nothing. And we need to get that. We need to really get it that I am made righteous because of God's love for me. You are made righteous because of God's love for you. We, same thing. Are you moving forward in His righteousness? Or are you trying to do it on your own? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Word? Or coasting along, figuring, I'm good enough? What is good enough? Because I'm telling you, I don't know. And I'm going to try to be, where's Martin? Oh, she's... I'm going to try to be gooder.
She's cringing.
I know. Get them in while you can. Listen, We cannot nullify God's word in our actions or in our words. I don't know about you. I mean, we can get into heaven by the skin of our teeth and come in smelling like smoke and be called the least in the kingdom. But I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to slide into heaven going 90 miles an hour and St. Peter have to stop me and from flying through the gates. Yeah. We should all want that. We should all want that. Because it's possible. It's possible for each and every one of us to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Get into God's word. Ask Him to write it upon your heart. Make it a part of who you are. And live the righteous life that you are called to live. Blessed are, right? Those characteristics that are found in the Beatitudes are ours and can be ours because of what Christ did on the cross. You are made righteous. Now live it out. Now is the time to examine yourself to see if your actions line up with your words and with the word, to test the spirits that are whispering in your ear, not today, you don't have to do that. Come and pray that God will give you what you need to be what He's called you to be. Come and pray that God will make us into what He's called us to be to the community in which He's placed us. God loves you. He loves every one of us with a love so profound, so deep, that He sent His one and only Son. Then He sent His Spirit to enable and empower us to live that life. Are you ready? Are you willing? Then come and pray. I want to encourage you to come in for the Sunday morning class. If you haven't been in, I would love to tell you that we're very serious and get right into the Word, but I can't. But we have a lot of fun, and we're delving deep into God's Word. I was reminded this morning, again, about Jesus. Where's Jesus right now? Where's He at physically, in the flesh? At the right hand of God. How often do we think about that? We're learning a lot in this class because when He ascended, He went up physically in the flesh and sat down, and He's still in the flesh pleading for us, interceding, pleading, all of it. What an awesome God we serve. Would you join me in prayer? Holy, righteous, Almighty God, we thank You, Lord, for Your word and Your love of us. I pray, Lord, that Your word would become a part of each of us, of who we are as individuals and who we are as Your church. Make us a light to the nations, Lord, the salt of the earth. We love You, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for the food that we're about to partake in, the hands that prepared it. We thank You, Lord, for this day that You have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.